banyak orang masa bulan puasa, okay, dia orang puasa satu, pasti dia orang nak cepat kurus sebab raya dekat. So dia orang tak nak makan kabo.
Baju dah tempah dah.
Ah, baju dah tempah kecil kan. Okay, aku kena muat dalam saiz XS daripada XSL.
Fasting is not necessary for that. Tapi kita ni bukan jadi ustaz ke sini. Ramadan is ibadah segment.
So, automatically in my mind like, oh, ada ya doktor mati pucuk. Kau tak pernah dengar kan? I don't know eh, mati pucuk. That video yang went viral. I would say terimalah kalau ia hilang otot during bulan puasa, walaupun macam doktor kata kan, physiologically bila berpuasa insulin rendah, testosterone naik, sepatutnya bina otot
lah. Kalau you train at night, this is a problem. Your hormone which is cortisol, stress hormone, akan naik sangat tinggi pada waktu malam.
Right. Tak lah, masa zaman sekolah dulu I makan macam-macam, I tak gemuk. Dah dewasa masih makan macam-macam dulu, tapi tiba-tiba gemuk.
Persoalan is, adakah hormon-hormon kita akan ada kesan semasa kita berpuasa? Yes and no.
Berpuasa adalah benda wajib, tapi adakah ia memberi manfaat? Hari ini guest saya seorang doktor yang dikenali ramai, terutama dalam masalah hormon, akan menerangkan masalah tersebut. Dan sebelum tu, saya dalam misi untuk mengurangkan 1% obesiti di Malaysia. Anda boleh membantu misi saya dengan cara like, follow channel kami. Dan jangan lupa untuk share konten ini dengan kawan-kawan serta keluarga anda. Welcome to our season 2 episode 27. So welcome Dr. Roland, apa khabar?
What's up Coach Cam? Good to have you.
Okay, thank you. So dulu, last year was you invite me.
Yeah.
This year, saya invite Dr. Roland.
So congratulations untuk dah season 2 and already 20 over episodes. Thank you. We've got a lot to learn, I guess.
Thank you. It's being consistent lah secara, I just have to be very consistent to share as many knowledge as possible. That's why I invite you juga datang ke podcast
Q again.
Okay, so doktor, nak tanya ke sini. Sebelum kita discuss tentang berpuasa ni bagus ke tidak, okay, we know it's benda wajib. Tapi boleh tak doktor share sikit your journey, how you become a doctor? Daripada zaman remaja lagi.
Oh, okay, wow. Ni kena balik pada zaman tadika lagi.
Dia kena bully ke, dipaksa oleh family ke, apa sebenarnya?
So, for me, bagi saya, ambition untuk jadi doktor ni terus terang, I think started daripada kecil lah. There's a one small episode, one story where my neighbor yang masa saya tinggal dekat Puchong sebelum saya pindah ke Istapak, dia seorang doktor. And then kakak dia selalu datang ke rumah saya untuk bercakap dengan my mother dan sebagainya lah. So one day I asked the auntie tu, can you ask your brother to borrow me your stethoscope? This is when I was 3 tahun tau. So then dia datang balik lepas 2-3 hari and told me that if you want the stethoscope, you got to earn it. It's not gonna come free. And I think that was one thing that I simpan for a long time. Long time. And daripada sekolah rendah, sekolah menengah and everything, ambition kalau tulis cita-cita tu consistent dua benda je. Kalau bukan doktor, arkitek. Consistent until right up to the end. And then lepas buat SPM, STPM, I melanjutkan pelajaran perubatan di Rusia. There were 6 years there. Lepas tu balik, datang kerja kat Malaysia. And then I decided untuk leave. Because I rasakan sistem kesihatan awam ni, ada satu segmen yang kita lihat dari segi wellness medicine ni kurang. So I buat banyak research on deep diving into that segment, and then now I have my own practice kat KLSky Clinic and fully focus pada wellness medicine, and satu segment yang saya memang ada a lot of passion is tentang masalah hormone balancing and nutrition.
So saya kenali Dr. Rollins, to be honest, it was during COVID lah kan. During COVID semua orang guna TikTok semua,
tapi I think before that, so we know each other lah.
I think no, we spoke. I jumpa doktor dekat dalam TikTok. Then I communicate with you, I DM you dekat Instagram. So that's how we know each other. We did a webinar together juga. So apa yang menarik perhatian saya, it was masa tu video dekat YouTube and Instagram, TikTok was mati pucuk. So automatically in my mind like, oh, ada ya doktor mati pucuk. Kau tak pernah dengar kan? I don't know eh, mati pucuk, mati pucuk, mati pucuk. That video yang went viral. So hence why I contacted you because nak tahu lebih mendalam lah. Because you're not just doing physics, medical punya general information tau. It's very in-depth. And we do know banyak orang kat luar sana ada masalah ni tapi takut.
Betul.
Takut. Okay. So that is how you started. Then kemudiannya, dekat Malaysia ni dah berapa lama you operate and what are types of patients yang banyak approach Dr. Rollins?
Okay, so dari segi medical practice, this is going to be 16 years in practice. Okay? And KL Sky Clinic dah 10 tahun. Tahun ni masuk 10 tahun. So KL Sky Clinic bawa under the flagship of lifestyle medicine. Okay, gaya hidup. So bila kita lihat pada gaya hidup ni, banyak elemen kita kena lihat dari segi pemakanan, dari segi stres, dari segi kesihatan, physicality, fitness, sleep. Yep. So I define it lebih kurang macam 360 medicine. Dia kena menyam satu secara total.
Seluruhan.
We have to see it keseluruhan. And I like this segment because kita hanya tak bermain dengan ubat saja. Tapi kita terpaksa fikirkan on macam mana impact kesihatan tu dari segi pekerjaan mereka, dari segi rest mereka, their family, their finance. A lot of things memang akan kita libatkan.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I recall how I pernah dengar pasal you juga. One of my client is a patient. Gentleman, dia kata, dia beritahu saya tau, when each time you come here for consultation, dia kata, you know, you cakap macam my doctor, Dr. Roland. Kata, Dr. Roland, kenapa macam pernah dengar? It was during COVID lah kan. And when I have a look, cakap, oh, okay, the language that you guna is memang bukan ubat-ubatan. It's very wholesome. Semua benda yang penting, which I also like lah kan. Sebab banyak orang ingat, kalau sakit, ambil ubat je. Bukan kena improve tidur ke, improve stress ke, tak ada. Lebih kepada ubat saja.
Betul.
Kan? Okay, next thing. Since kita dalam topik hormon and pada masa sama juga bulan puasa, saya nak tanya ni, ada tak impak berpuasa kepada hormon, terutamanya hormon lelaki berpuasa?
Okay, wow. Satu soalan yang quite complex. Tapi dari segi berpuasa ni memang kita galakkan. Okay, I think sebab bulan ni bulan Ramadan, kita lihat kebanyakan orang beragama Islam akan berpuasa. Tapi all the other text kepada ramai umat Islam juga, that kebanyakan agama-agama lain pun memang mengamalkan berpuasa ni. Tapi mungkin pendekatan berpuasa mereka agak berbeza sedikit. Mungkin sometimes ada leeway sikit. It's not very collective as how Ramadan is. Tetapi dari segi kebaikan kesihatan, Ramadan ni memang sangat-sangat baik. Because you akan infuse the discipline untuk practice certain timing, untuk bersahur, berbuka, and also a bit of control. Okay. Balik pada persoalan is, adakah hormon-hormon kita akan ada kesan semasa kita berpuasa? Yes and no. Okay. So the first yes is we got to see that bila kita kurangkan pemakanan ni, satu benda yang akan kita alami is our insulin. Kebanyakan kita percentage pemakanan karbohidrat memang tinggi lah. So bila pemakanan karbohidrat tu tinggi, so apa yang berlaku is insulin hormon ialah satu hormon yang dikeluarkan oleh organ dinamakan pankreas, dia akan keluarkan insulin. So bila insulin ni keluar, dia akan menarik gula masuk ke dalam sel, ataupun sekiranya gula tu berlebihan akan disimpan dalam bentuk lemak. Dan juga another process happening, the glycation process happening, the glucagon.
Yes.
Ialah satu hormon lagi yang tukarkan glycogen, yang di mana tenaga yang disimpan dalam liver kita ataupun hati kita dikeluarkan, digunakan sebagai tenaga, and also the breakdown of lemak dalam badan pun akan berlaku. Itu satu benda. Okay. So, when insulin ialah rendah, keboleh upaya untuk testosterone naik ialah lebih tinggi. Okay, itu satu cross action lah.
Okay,
high insulin.
I nak menyampuk sekejap kat situ.
Nampuk.
Supaya orang macam, oh sorry Inglaser, I like to turn to my guest.
Sure, no problem.
Tapi he tak bagi. He doesn't look good for the camera. Okay. Okay, since doctor I mentioned when insulin rendah, testosterone meningkat kan. Okay. I know this is going to be very complex, okay? Because kalau insulin rendah, testosteron akan naik, then why don't bodybuilder don't eat any carbs? Okay, since insulin rendah, why don't we just do that to increase our testosterone?
Okay, that's what I said. That was the exclusion coming in. See, kalau kita lihat pada bodybuilders yang are going to a hypertrophic position, they are tengah buat sizing. So the issue comes in that, okay, how much of carb you akan ambil and how much of protein you akan ambil. So in a situation kalau orang yang tengah dalam proses hypertrophy, fasting is not necessary for that. Tapi this is, kita ni bukan jadi ustaz ke sini to decide on that. Ramadan is ibadah segment. Yes. Okay, tapi kalau fasting ni, I mean, I wouldn't recommend bodybuilders in a non-Ramadan position to not to fast just to get the testosterone up. Right. Okay, you can get the testosterone up, tetapi there, where's the protein coming in? Where is the fuel? Where is the macros, macronutrition datang? So, takkan datang tak?
Yeah.
So, you akan lugi the time. Because you will try to attempt to fast macam 12 hours and everything. Tapi kalau kita lihat also on the other side, some bodybuilders yang buat IF and everything, they are almost doing something similar juga.
Right.
So to say is how much they can load. Boleh tak mereka load 6 dalam 6 jam tu? Boleh tak mereka load like 2 gram per kg or something?
Really kilo ayam lah. Boleh tak makan sekilo ayam dalam 6 jam tu?
Ada orang boleh. Yeah. Ada orang boleh.
Atau you supplement lah. Itu membantu.
Tapi kalau supplement berapa, how many six you nak ambil? Betul. Dalam jam?
Exactly. Like for me, I drink 2 scoops. Bulan puasa, only I am supplement. Normal days, I will just makan. Because puasa, you only have that restricted time. Nak makan susah. So I drink my shake. So I'll take up to 3 scoops. That's about like almost...
Say one go or what?
No, separate lah.
Drink
6 hours lah. So that is what I do. But anyway... kembali kepada soalan yang bodybuilder tu, that's why anak doktor yang ceritakan, because you will be a debate between a general public dengan a person yang nak build masa hypertrophy.
Betul.
Kan?
Betul.
So
bila balik pada isu itu juga, kalau kita lihat the testosterone akan naik, okay, fine. If the testosterone goes up, so what? That's one thing also to answer. So because if we tengok orang yang tengah hari-hari dia makan nasi 3 kali sehari and now they cutting down to maybe sekali ataupun 2 kali. So there is at least a 30% to 50% drop of carb consumption. Tak kisah dia makan nasi ke tepung ke. But so then the insulin akan lebih stable.
Right.
So on that perspective, okay, yes. But in terms of demand and supply also on the other side comes the factor of kita train. Berapa banyak kita akan train? Berapa banyak you boleh train? Ada tak you akan train lepas makan sahur? 1 jam, 2 jam, pukul 8 pagi, masuk gym, you whack one superset session, lepas tu low hydration and then keluar. And then pada waktu petang, you buat lagi satu set ataupun mungkin some brisk walking ke, just to get some calories burned out, or some form of mobility, mungkin buat senaman yoga ke stretching ke apa-apa, and then you makan, and then ada orang pergi train pada waktu malam juga.
Right.
So kalau kita rujuk pada bodybuilders, it's going to be very different. It's really going to be a bit of a different story. Tapi kalau kita lihat pada general public, kita tengok, okay, what is the body type? Apa objektif dia nak achieve kalau 30 hari tu dia berpuasa ataupun dia move to other elements of like, they go for intermittent fasting, whether it's 16-18 or 16-8, 18-6 or 20-4. It's going to be different.
Okay.
It's going to be different.
So from my view, I would say like this. Regardless your bodybuilder ke West Physique ke apa, masa bulan puasa, kita terima lah that kita kena puasa sebagai ibadah. Okay. It's almost difficult. Bukan kata impossible. Alhamdulillah, I managed to increase my muscle for the past 2 days. Which is very rare bulan puasa, because in your podcast hari tu I pernah cerita kan, I'm fasting sikit, muscle jatuh. So I'm surprised that I'm able.
Is there anything that you've been eating that has changed this year to last year?
To be honest, I consume the protein. I'm not promoting supplement then. I'm just saying that I'm able to eat more. My chicken satu hari seekor, because itu just LRAT, seekor pun almost about a kilo. On top of that, I take 3 scoops of protein. I just consume that. Apart from that, adalah kabo semua kan. So I just try to tengok progress kat situ. And for the past 6 days, so puasa baru 2 hari kan. But for the past 6 days punya progress, I'm able to increase muscle. So I'm like, hey, I am still the same. What are the different here? Training still the same. Intensity low. Okay, and then I only conclude, okay, I think it's because my protein, I have sufficient protein compared to previous punya fasting.
Understand.
Itu je I boleh kata. That's from that 6 days punya progress lah. It could be other things juga. But training semua sama je. So anyway. So from my view, nasihat saya kat kawan-kawan kat luar sana yang tengah nak cuba bina otot, I would say terimalah kalau you hilang otot during bulan puasa, walaupun macam doktor kata kan, physiologically, bila berpuasa, insulin rendah, testosterone naik, sepatutnya bina otot lah. Kan? Itu logik lah kalau kita cakap macam tu. But in reality, tak semestinya macam tu.
Yeah, there is two set. There are even people yang kita akan lihat, mereka badan mereka keding tu. Tapi testosterone tinggi. So it's not subjective, but testosterone tinggi maksudnya you akan bulky. It also bergantung pada training tu, conditioning. Kalau you condition untuk bermain rugby, you akan dapat that body strength of orang rugby. Kalau you buat main bola, you akan dapat that kind of strength. If you are going to for bodybuilding tournament competition, if you train according to that regime, you will achieve that target.
So that's a complex part lah yang bila kita masuk pasal hormon, lepas tu matlamat orang, dia dah jadi macam complicated.
Sebab tu discussion dengan patient secara peribadi, very very important because kita dapat tahu exactly what is their goal. Yes. So to do the goal setting, so the first thing I can buat.
Agree?
What they want to achieve.
Totally agree. Because banyak orang yang datang kat saya juga, tanya, coach, I nak jadi macam orang ni. Tapi lifestyle dia berbeza. Kan? So it's difficult lah. So kepada mereka yang you're uncertain what you try to achieve, maybe bila jumpa doktor akan tanya the right question. Then can assist you dengan apa yang cuba dia nak capai. During bulan puasa ni, terhadap hormon, what doctor mentioned that testosterone akan naik. But because we berpuasa untuk 30 hari continuous ni, adakah impact dia memberi banyak manfaat dari segi hormon? Why I ask this question is because we know fasting is somewhat catabolic. Orang yang nak bina otot, again I'm not specifically kepada bodybuilder, tapi orang yang nak cuba sustain otot, they want to be at anabolic state. So you have 16 hours of fasting, which is very catabolic. But at the same time juga, you want to be anabolic by building muscle. How do you balance that?
I rasa sebenarnya tak ada masalah pun. Kalau nak puasa, like kita katakanlah our max time puasa berapa jam? 14 hours maximum? Okay. Of course, kita lihat pada waktu malam ni, kita bukan buat macam cara macam IS lah. Kita biasanya use the malam punya loop. Now using the day loop.
Okay.
So, the few factors kita kena factor in is, one is how much of calorie kita dapat. So, katakan kita dapat melalui the 2 or 3 windows kita ambil makan. Especially for people yang training. Ini again, is not for the general Joe. General Joe, kita akan minta mereka datang and discuss okay, what they want to achieve. Okay? We're talking about the big guys. Ataupun people yang betul-betul dedicated in the gym. They don't want to lose muscle, dikatakan. They don't want to go into the catabolic. They want to stay positive. Like. They want to stay anabolic positive. Right. You got to work on your calories first. See what you're eating pada waktu pagi. Sebelum sahur. Cukup tak calorie? Can you get like 800, 900 calories in at least for the sahur? And then you want to see your lepas maghrib, lepas subuh buka. If you're going in to train at that point, what are you going to achieve? There's also another one more trick yang I rasa ramai orang kat sini tak buat, is to go like The Rock, Mark Wahlberg punya style. They train at 4 o'clock in the morning. You train pukul 4, kau, sebelum 5:30, you makan, you bash, whatever you want to stack. And then if you want to go in again for an evening light workout, you boleh buat. And then pergi terawih ke apa ke, hydrate, sleep, you get your good sleep. Biasanya terawih habis berapa? 10? 9:30.
Kena boleh sejam, sejam setengah.
So by 9:30, 10 o'clock dah habis. Jangan nak pergi sana makan lagi, pengat pisang lah, dodol and everything. Then gone.
Right.
So you get you to sleep. If you sleep by 10, at least you dapat, if you wake up at 4, you dapat 1.5 hours proper workout. You eat. How long you makan? Setengah jam cukup dah. That, at least you still can get in all the calories. You still can get the protein. You can still get in your all your supplements. You want to take proper meal. Kalau katakan you nak makan daging pun pada waktu pagi, bukan kata tak boleh. Boleh je. It's just that, it's your journey lah. It's that you wake up and you strategize yourself.
Betul. Nak tambah kat situ ya. To be honest, I dah try nak workout sebelum sahur. The thing is, I baru nak cuba days before bulan puasa. Memang susah lah. Because we want to re-strategize punya time kan. Because usually I akan workout selepas subuh. My regular time. And sekali bulan puasa nak workout sebelum subuh.
Okay.
Terkejut lah badan tu.
Betul, betul. Okay. So this is what I calling it. Call it like macam the ramp up. That means kapal terbang tu belum take off ni, dia kena ambil the ramp. Dia kena hit the 300 km, 50 km sejam ke, 400 km sejam ke, before they can take off. So you cannot do it on day one of Ramadan. You gonna try macam 2 minggu selepas tu, that conditioning,
yes.
You get in and then you get in. Then you can have a proper take off.
Right, right.
Kalau you dah buat sekarang, take off you dah pertengahan. Yeah. Then you just buat 2 minggu, then
betul.
Habis it.
I agree dengan Dr. Rodan punya part lah. Like, try to do sebelum sahur.
And also another one thing. Kalau you train at night, this is a problem. Your hormone which is cortisol, stress hormone,
right,
akan naik sangat tinggi pada waktu malam.
Right.
Because you are working with heavy weights. You're not doing like ballet ke, dancing ke, apa-apa yang fun tau. Weight training ni serious ke. You buat sedikit mistake at that heavy weights kan, you will dapat injury and thing. So the movement, how you stack your weight, all of this penting. You tak boleh buat dalam satu situation yang you will take. So if you are pushing yourself malam, you ambil kopi lah, sometimes ada orang ambil
pre-workout
and everything, it will increase your metabolism,
right,
and also increase cortisol.
Yeah.
So that will cause you not to be awake unnecessary.
Right.
Nanti you tidur macam pukul 2, pukul 1, pukul 2.
Okay.
Itu pun akan menyebabkan all your circadian rhythm huru-hara.
Baru nak sentuh that part. Okay. Apa yang sendiri rumuskan daripada apa Dr. Roland kata, badan kita ada tanggungjawab dia mengeluarkan hormon mengikut masa juga. So the best time, okay, bukan semua orang wajib buat, tapi the best time to work out is first thing in the morning. That's why Dr. Roland sebelum datang workout dulu. Kan? Dia workout dulu sebelum datang. Even for me, macam saya kata, I'm a morning person to work out. Bukan sebab kononnya kita rajin sangat lah. Actually, it save a lot of time. Then we can do our own thing. However, there's so many benefit in terms of hormonal wise bila workout in the morning. So now disebabkan bulan puasa, terpaksa. And for those yang memang workout pagi, tiba-tiba terpaksa workout malam tu, okay, you got no choice. Tapi impact kepada hormon berbeza juga. Macam Dr. Roland kata tadi, cortisol kan. Cortisol is a good thing for certain things. But kalau terlalu banyak and at the wrong time juga, not so good.
Yes, correct.
Ah.
So, kalau kita lihat dalam badan kita, pagi-pagi, hormon seperti testosterone tinggi.
Yes.
Cortisol also start to pick up.
Right.
Okay? But it picks up in a natural way. And another one more thing kena ingatkan, bila kita berpuasa, especially tanpa minum air, the whole day, cortisol akan naik. Because the body is now pushed into a stress concept. I need hydration. So dia akan ada that stress element going through the whole day pun. That's also something yang kena factor in lah. So the hydration,
yes,
pun sangat penting. So the timing bagi saya, even to work out, I will still pick that early morning workout. To work out, makan, then you're done. Night time kalau nak buat macam light walk ke, just to burn some more calories ke, then they can do that in the evening sebelum maghrib. You get in, you have your meal, you rest, we semayang. After that, straight away to bed. So you never miss the rhythm.
Okay. Boleh tak? Correct me if I'm wrong. Boleh tak kita conclude-kan saja? Macam bulan puasa kepada mereka yang dah biasa pergi gym, not necessarily you're a competitive bodybuilder, but you pergi gym je lah kan? Kata bulan puasa ni, make everything as a very light workout. tak payah nak angkat berat-berat because berpuasa. So you can do that before berbuka puasa. Why I say this is because banyak orang kat luar sana yang dia dah memang ada rutin harian, iaitu berlari ke pergi gym semua. Tapi disebabkan puasa, they have terpaksa pindahkan masa tu and workout selepas tarawih, which is 9:30 PM. I think it's not practical, but if you got no choice, you got no choice lah kan. Why I say it's not practical? Because banyak orang kat luar sana, lepas workout, dia tak boleh tidur.
Mestilah.
Kan?
So the body is high. Biasanya kena buat cardiovascular event, you have runner's height. You akan rasa macam, wow, super alert, super energetic. What is supposed to be in a sunset mode? Heart rate you sepatut drop, your hormones sepatut drop, your melatonin sepatut naik.
Betul.
Semua jadi suruh ada. So at that point, we ask now, adakah you memudaratkan badan you?
This is why I tanya soalan, adakah berpuasa bagus atau tidak? Because it is a complex soalan kalau kita masukkan kepada competitive individual and orang yang selalu pergi gym. So that's why saya nak bagi tahu nasihat saya lah. Dr. Nolan pun ada nasihat dia juga, iaitu pagi sebelum sahur pergi bersenam. Kalau you nak buat, you buat. I tak boleh buat. So my side would be if you can, you do it. If not, pada waktu petang, do something light je. And use bulan puasa ni sebagai bulan untuk, you know, berehat.
Clean up lah.
Clean up ulang kan. Then, okay, macam tadi doktor ada mention a bit about glucagon. So maybe orang selalu dengar glucose insulin.
Okay.
So glucagon and why it does release the glycogen. Boleh tak cerita that part? Because, okay, that's a view macam mana badan nak sustain energy by breaking down those thing to masukkan gula dalam darah untuk stabilize lah kan. So boleh tak doktor ceritakan bahagian tu, sebab masa bulan puasa benda tu lah yang tengah berlaku kan. Can you share a bit about that part supaya orang faham?
Okay. So bila kita makan, dua situasi boleh berlaku. Satu, gula tu masuk terus dengan bantuan insulin masuk dalam sel. Dua, gula tu rasa dah ada banyak gula berlebihan, dia akan hantar kepada our liver and simpan dalam bentuk glycogen. Okay? And then the glucagon ni adalah satu hormon yang dikeluarkan untuk tarik keluar glucagon, tukar balik pada glucose and masukkan sebagai badan sebagai tenaga simpan. So on the storage. Kalau berlebihan sangat, badan kata, storage yang glucagon dah cukup dah, dia akan tukar simpan dalam bentuk lemak. So if you rasa you put on too much weight, that means storage glucagon ni dah penuh dah. Dah full bahak. Jadi, fat is taking over. Simple as that.
So, kenapa I nak suruh Dr. Roland cakap bahagian tu is because most people will conclude when you consume carbs, you terus become fat. Because when you consume carbs, pancreas release insulin, then you become fat. Dia macam lompat step-step dia yang one of the main function is to shuttle the energy into the cells. Tapi, orang punya perception adalah you makan nasi, terus gemuk. So they choose to not to have carbs. Now, my soalan kepada penonton dan pendengar kan, okay, if you choose not to have carbs, assuming that your gula darah akan jatuh, adakah ia akan jatuh kepada kosong? Will that happen? You know?
Very, very hard to happen because even protein pun boleh dipecahkan into your in your liver and ditukarkan kepada and go through this glycogen pathway and jadikan glucose.
Right.
Yeah. Tapi like I always said, protein lemak ni cost dia mahal. Grains are cheap.
Right.
And the issue with people is, I realise that satu pattern yang banyak orang tak lihat, that kenapa lepas zaman remaja tu, after the 20s, then only the weight start. Because masa time remaja ni masih akil balik and everything, there's still a lot of growth hormone. GH tu masih dengan tinggi. Okay? And then you are growing. That means you're still building. You're building organs, you're building bones, you're building other physical structures, sexual structures, female, male, everything, muscle, everything. So building tu satu proses, sustaining tu satu proses.
Right.
Bila you masuk pada alam 20-an everything, sustaining tu tak sebesar building. You nak maintain satu bangunan memang ada cost. Tapi bila nak buat bangunan tu, memang the effort to bawa all the trucks, cement mixer, everything is different compared to when we are when we are in the process of sustaining. So bila you reach that 25 and you start to plateau, but you still consume all the similar pattern of food, the body says, "Hey, no, I don't need that much of operations.
Right, right.
So I don't know what to do." And then you are not doing that kind of workout, that kind of exercise, that kind of metabolism. So stall lah.
Yeah. So banyak orang kata, "Hey, entahlah, masa zaman sekolah dulu, I makan macam-macam. I tak gemuk."
Okay.
Dah dewasa masih makan macam-macam macam dulu, tapi tiba-tiba gemuk. So that is one of the factor lah kan. Other factor is your lifestyle, your tidur, your stress. Those are another factor lah.
So people yang macam kita macam pergi pada face hypertrophy and everything,
yeah,
they're still building. So dia punya consumption masih boleh jadi heavy lah, because they're still trying to tear and break.
So when doctor mentioned about building tu kan, dalam science tu dia panggil anabolism. So badan kita dalam every moment is always building and memecahkan untuk menggunakan tenaga baru. We call it catabolism. So it's not a bad thing, it's not a good thing, it's just part of the process.
It's a plus minus process.
Plus minus process, supaya badan kita boleh kekal at its normal state. We call it homeostasis lah. Macam tadi, that's why I bring up that topic. Okay, kalau insulin naik dan apa akan berlaku, dia akan store. Bila kita tak makan sebab berpuasa, dia akan cari gula lain daripada glycogen, convert pada tu. Okay, that's homeostasis. And those are catabolic. So we cannot say catabolic is a bad thing. It's part of a normal human process. However, ni nak sentuh banyak sikit. However, banyak orang masa bulan puasa, okay, dia orang puasa satu. Pasti dia nak cepat kurus. Sebab raya dekat. So dia orang tak nak makan kabo, tak nak makan gula.
Baju dah tempah dah.
Baju dah tempah kecil kan. Aku kena muat dalam size XS daripada XSL. Okay lah. Okay, tak apa. That's your goal lah kan. Realistic ke tidak is your goal. Now on top of that, you nak bersenam, cardio, sejam, dua jam lepas terawih, which is at 10 PM. On top of that juga, apa lagi? Orang main fat burner. So you can imagine those things are very catabolic. Even though it's quite a process, tapi sangat-sangat stres kepada badan. Let's say saya buat macam tu. Okay, doktor. Saya nak kahwin. Saya nak kahwin pula. Nak raya. Baju dah tepah. Saiz kecil gila. Saya sanggup tak nak makan kabo. Saya sanggup semua benda yang macam saya katalah. What could be the impact kepada badan saya?
I think definitely you lose weight.
Okay, for sure. Itu yang you want kan?
Okay, satu ni punya kan air satu. And then you will lose weight because you're going to catabolic process. So bila in this process of catabolism ni, kena lihatlah apa yang body akan salvage dulu. Dia akan sapur. Sebab dia akan break down muscle or they will break down fat. Okay. For some studies that shows that the last situation orang yang train, the body doesn't want to let go of the protein. It doesn't mind let going of fat.
Yeah.
Tapi in certain position yang tak buat apa-apa, they will go for the muscle because they are lazy.
Okay. So, impact kepada hormon pula.
Okay.
Itu dari segi fizikal lah.
Hormon, in situation macam ni, okay. Dari segi, of course, kalau kita insulin and something. Kalau you kurang cup, player insulin tak boleh keluar.
Okay.
Tetapi, the body goes into a stress position because this body dah used to, dah acclimatized dengan makanan. All the food,
right?
And then suddenly you push it to force adaptation,
right?
Tiba-tiba duduk dalam kondo, tiba-tiba ham campak tu letak dalam butat. Stress tak? Of course stress. Hey, I used to get my meal lah, breakfast meal tak ada lah. Ini e-hailing tak ada lah. So the body akan ambil time to adapt to that. That's one thing. So the body will always try like, go back to your safe zone lah. Why want to fuck? Go back. So many hormones yang some subject of interest of psychology dengan hormon ni, psychoendocrinology ni, also see that psychologically these hormones will tell you that, you know, just give up the fasting. They macam setan duduk dalam tu. Just do it. So they want cake. So they want chocolate. Macam tu. Because the body always likes going back to safe zone.
Right.
See, when we push ourselves dalam training and everything, saya tak perlu buat training masa belum hidup. So the body is like, why are you pushing myself into this extreme position?
Betul.
Yeah, so that extreme position, bila you push jadi habit. But it doesn't end up immediately as happy.
I summarize. I summarize.
Kompleks sangat.
Bahasa tu saya faham. Tapi majority mungkin susah sikit nak faham. So kalau you all tertanya-tanya, kenapa first week of bulan puasa ni memang boleh buat? You go to extreme level berpuasa, nampak turun, but tiba-tiba week 2 ke 3 tu, tak payahlah buat benda ni. What for you push yourself so hard? Alah, satu cake je. Takpelah, kita mula buka puasa kat luar lah, buffet lah semua. Tiba-tiba, that's when doctor mention hormon tu dengan cara kita berfikir, psikologi tu. Tiba-tiba benda tu lah. Bukan mental you lemah. Memang ada kena-mengena. Endocrinology ya.
Endocrinology.
Your otak dengan you punya hormon juga ada kena-mengena. When you do something that is so extreme, it will just send signal to your brain that don't do this. Because bukan benda yang you selalu buat. That's why apa yang saya suka nasihat dekat klien saya, find things that you can do yang rasa macam you tak memaksa. Supaya proses tu atau transition tu senang je. So kepada you all yang ada biasa puasa tu, senang lah belum puasa. Kepada mereka tak pernah puasa, tiba-tiba puasa, memang you rasa terkejut lah. Kan?
Actually, I need to add on that question. Just, I'm tak jawab benar question tu. So because you mentioned that mereka akan pakai caffeine lah, pakai hydroxycut lah, macam-macam kan? Okay. So, all of this akan create so much of stress in the body. So the body akan cuba cari satu jalan escape. So the memang the biggest hormone akan naik is cortisol lah, because of the stress. But this cortisol ni adalah satu hormon yang paling tua dalam badan.
Oh,
dalam paling tua dalam organism.
When you say tua ni apa? This first time I dengar.
Okay, this is like 500 juta tahun. That even certain bacteria ada cortisol.
Wow.
Okay. Certain basic life form ada cortisol. So the easy is fight and flight response.
Okay.
So every organism ada deh. Okay. Ada cahaya. Oh, ada blanket pergi.
I'll see.
Respond. They react. So from cortisol, a lot of other hormones started to diversify.
Okay.
So in a stress position, body was that. You know what? Screw estrogen. Screw testosterone. Tak penting. Kau buatlah this hormone, because this hormone is all I need in stress. Okay. Kalau you push yourself dalam satu situation yang terlampau extreme, badan you pun akan bergerak ke that direction.
Yes.
Tapi kena lihat lah whether it's a positive extreme or negative extreme.
Okay, I'm going to use high blood pressure. I'm going to use high blood pressure. Tekanan darah tinggi sebagai contoh ya. So kalau seseorang tu kerja dalam tempat yang stres, okay, boss dia ke colleague dia ke bagi lot stress, okay, that's fine, that's still manageable. But kalau you kerja tempat tu stres, contohnya banks, lepas tu balik lambat, tidur lambat, lepas tu you kena OT, tambah you kena minum kopi sebelum tidur kalau you boleh tidur, lepas tu you bangun awal, lepas tu you tak cukup makan. So those things are very stressful to the body, and it's so common. Orang yang kerja dalam industri yang stres macam banking, ada tekanan darah tinggi. Betul tak?
Yes.
Yeah. Then on top of that, isap rokok sebab stres, coping mechanism. Itu yang doktor nak cakap.
Yeah, betul.
You're pushing yourself towards that way because the amount of stress dalam perut tinggi. I know kita terajak
sikit. Cuba cari the escape.
What would you advise?
You need to be conditionally ready. It's like macam you nak buat bungee jumping. Takkanlah, I just jump coach, we buat bungee jumping. No. Sometimes you have to like sort of like prime and anticipate what you're going to happen before you get the bush.
Right. So I do advise a few of my auditor client. Okay. Diorang ada season, diorang akan stress sebab nak to do closing. This is how I advise. You can add in kalau apa. You should already know bila you nak stress. This is what the doctor you kena prime. You should already know bila yang you akan stress. During that period of time, you cari benda yang boleh distress. Because those are the things that you and I cannot control. Then once you dah habis that stress moment, you go back to as healthy as possible. Maknanya you betulkan tidur semua benda. This is what usually I advise lah to my clients yang ada stressful lifestyle.
And they gonna macam practice that routine lah, because that season tu, auditing season tu akan tak datang. Dia macam striker taking a penalty, 80,000 fans.
Right.
The more stress.
Yeah, that's stress.
Because you are one-on-one among 80,000 people.
Right.
But the more you practice, the more you are conditioned to adapt that final match, 80,000 audience, 100,000 audience, billions of people watching,
right,
you dah prime yourself. Okay. That's a different story.
Can you give an example, contoh orang yang buat auditing and diorang memang stressful, and you know, during a stressful time, kadang-kadang appetite pun meningkat. How do you advise that part? The part whereby you have to prime yourself so you can manage.
So it's very simple. I mean, satu, they must find their go-to escape. What they like to do. As I say lah, walaupun busy, okay, if their Friday night is a movie night, dia pergi tengok juga. They need to have some form of reward-centric. Okay. Satu, reward. Reward mechanism sangat penting. Because kalau you stress, tak ada reward. Nanti dia tak ada pullback factor. They don't feel good about whatever they doing. Dia macam tak ada achievement. Itu satu. Kedua is dari segi pemakanan and everything. Plan the means. And the means are ready.
Okay.
Sama ada you dah order ataupun you dah invest in advance. You beli macam prep meal apa macam tu. So you dah letak duit, letak ke depan. So you cannot run away from that. Bila kita bagi dalam situation stress ni and dia tak ada plan, they will take anything that comes.
Yes.
This gimmick. It's just take something easy. Right. So that's when ada orang akan terlibat dengan alcohol lah, buat dengan rokok, recreational drugs, because they want to find a quick escape. But if they already planned the escape, you know what? After the thing finish, we're going to go for holiday. So they can fikir like, dia macam, aku habiskan kerja ni, reward ni ada kat sini. So they, you need to intensivize the body. The body loves that kind of intensity.
And next soalan. Untuk mereka yang ada masalah gastrik, how would you advise them masa bulan puasa ni yang ada masalah gastrik?
Okay. Dalam situasi berpuasa pada bulan gastrik, pada bulan Ramadan, bulan gastrik pula. Memang nampak macam bulan gastrik. Kan? Okay. So, satu is the discipline. Makan pada waktu yang tepat. Kalau memang you tak pernah train untuk tak bersahur, silalah bersahur.
Yes.
If you cannot do that, one omelet satu kali makan hanya lepas maghrib macam tu untuk berbuka, then you please makan pada waktu pagi. And then makanlah benda-benda yang patut. Jangan makan just because deep fried food susah sikit dapat pada waktu pagi. Yang kita lihat apa mereka akan makan. Mi goreng, nasi ataupun apa yang mereka beli daripada bazar, the leftovers clean up, and then what we left is makan kuih lah and all of this. And then also must understand food ni pun ada satu property of energy tau. Bila you makan some food is very exposed kepada waktu yang lama kan, the energy, the feel, the texture, everything pun jadi huru-hara. Sometimes boleh dapat infection, that's one thing. And another thing, balik pasal subjek kortisol tu. Kortisol will affect histamine release in the stomach.
Elaborate this.
So histamine ni satu hormon. Biasanya kita kena perkataan antihistamine kan. Okay. Kalau ada keradangan kan. So kortisol will actually affect when you stress. Kortisol will actually affect histamine release. Histamine release ni akan kacau you punya acidity dalam perut. Dan kebanyakan orang fikir is more acid than is produced.
Right.
Sometimes it's less acid than is produced. Yeah, so that's something. Of course, bacterial infection is not the subject that can discuss. Tapi eating properly, the proper volume. That means if you can eat something solid pada waktu pagi pun, solid nasi lemak, mungkin ayam, something, at least something heavy. You can take. I even pun, I actually experiment macam pagi-pagi kat, trying to minum my protein shake with santan.
Okay,
and I felt that.
Right.
Memang I can tahan quite a long time because we're not playing with dairies, because some people mungkin sensitive pada dairies, tapi I felt that santan like half the one third of the kota segi empat tu, and then with protein shake sikit air, I felt it was very creamy and the fat can sustain me for a long time. That means one shake tu daripada hanya mungkin 150 ke 180 calories of protein, I jack it up to almost 400 calories. So it's like very sustainable punya weight lah. And then it's clean. Tak ada cholesterol, tak ada ni, tak ada tu.
I tried before guna coconut oil. Not nak buat magical tinggi ke apa. It's just, oh, I got coconut oil nak habiskan. So I added into my protein sejuk, and coconut oil bila sejuk dia jadi keras kan. So I drank it, it's crunchy. Apparently it sustained quite long. So
because the good oils memang masalah. Tapi kita lihat masalah sekarang ni ada yang tentang apa, kurma dengan butter.
Boleh elaborate tak? To be honest, I nampak tapi I tak tahu datang daripada mana. Yang orang kata kurma dengan butter tak bagus. I've seen the recent video you buat kan. Okay, kenapa tu dia kurma butter ni? What was
So there's nothing wrong with butter and kurma. Okay. Tapi again, modesty lah.
Yeah.
Satu, kita serious which leraikan dua benda ni. Because
was the topic. Sorry lah, I traffic jam sikit. I tak follow apa yang tengah trending sekarang.
Aku pun tiba-tiba terserempak dengan this posting. Claw from this public health and everything telling that.
It's from public health. Okay.
There's again, always this fat, butter fat ni ialah saturated fat. So it's bad.
Okay.
But they want to touch the kurma lah, because to, they touch kurma, they kena whack as because of makanan Sunda.
Kena
target. So they went around and say like, oh, if you eat too much of saturated fat, it's bad for your body. So kalau kita ambil saturated fat secara moderate,
okay.
Minyak kelapa pun saturated fat, butter pun saturated fat. There's nothing wrong if you take it more. Bukan suruh orang makan satu blok. And even kurma pun, mungkin dia makan satu hingga tiga ulas. It's okay. But if you go and makan yang kurma yang kena celup dengan air gula. Because when we take message daripada Prophet Muhammad pun, kita kena faham that there was the environment dekat sana. And this is a superfood. Ada fiber, ada gula, senang nak ambil. And kalau you pernah makan the real kurma daripada pokok, oh, tastes so nice. It's so juicy, ada air and everything. Yang kita dapat kat sini semua dah dehydrated. And then celup, ada isu kan, celup dengan madu lah, celup dengan gula. So the calorie just goes up. So if you're having something raw, you take out the pit and letak sedikit butter kat dalam tu, tak ada masalah. Tapi jangan sampai you makan macam London Almonds, you makan 5-6 sekali macam tu, then it creates a problem. You create an unnecessary calorie bump. That's the only issue. If you're going to taste like 1-3, should be fine. But if you makan secara overdose, itu yang jadi masalah.
Okay, so basically daripada, bukan orang lah, tapi daripada organisasi yang kongsi benda ni.
Sebenarnya organisasi ni semua memang pelik. They are not updated with the latest scientific data with saturated fats, which is good. Mereka still akan kata jangan makan daging. All of this kind of propaganda masih berlaku. Tapi bila kita bercerita tentang makan karbohidrat, tak ada masalah. Makan tepung tak ada masalah. Boleh. So fit food pyramid itu masih menjadi satu isu yang they still champion.
Faham? You rasa, doktor rasa, kat mana yang boleh diperbetulkan? Because this is not the first time informasi macam ni keluar kan, yang membuat orang confused sangat. Kat mana yang boleh diperbetulkan supaya orang tak lagi confused?
I rasa orang suka confused. They love to be confused. Okay. Dia macam, dia suka disesatkan.
Okay.
Okay. Lagi disesat, dia rasa dia lagi champion. Okay. The issue is, I think they know already. They know if something is working
right
for so long, how come because they have a lot of health issues? If the advice that you give is right, and orang practice benda ni secara ruji, why is it you have so much of diabetes? Why is it you tak ditampung orang dalam masalah kesihatan? So that means whatever you're doing is wrong, and you still stubborn. And bila new data is coming out and saying that people like, look, there's no problem eating certain protein, no problem eating certain kind of fat. The issue is again carb yang push issue diabetes, issue cardiovascular issue, issue blood pressure. The inflammation is happening more because of grains than proper protein, clean protein. Tapi you're in denial because we understand. In order to control population, you need to give cheap food. So public, what they want? Expensive food ke cheap food? Cheap food. So there you go. So it's a loop that you need to escape. But escaping comes at a cost, not being normal.
Orang susah nak accept. Okay. So kalau you all tak nak disesatkan, I highly recommend you guys follow Dr. Ronald.
And also Coach Kid.
Thank you. And boleh tanya banyak soalan mengenai hormon. You can set yourself a consultation dengan Dr. Rollins and his team juga. And insyaAllah boleh membantu anda yang mempunyai masalah kesihatan. Boleh tak Dr. Rollins share sikit? Kat mana orang boleh cari Dr. Rollins?
Ah, you can search saya dekat Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I even ada podcast The Sembatu Medic Show. You search KL Sky Clinic, you will dapat all the information there. Kalau you nak apa-apa pertanyaan untuk datang ke klinik apa, just call the numbers, then my staff ataupun team kami daripada klinik akan bantu you.
I would suggest to do that supaya bila you all buat medical check-up, Dr. Rollins explain. Because saya sendiri pernah buat good results semua, Dr. Rollins explain and tanya soalan-soalan private, which you cannot dengar dekat, you know, social media. You have to go personally experience it to understand you ada masalah apa. Cerita orang, tapi masalah you. Like, I have my own problem. Dr. Rollins bertanya, kenapa saya kongsi sikit lah. Kenapa testosterone saya rendah? Untuk orang yang ada banyak otot, tapi testosterone saya rendah. Saya kata, salah satu sebabnya is saya memang tak ada minat masa tu. Masa tu was like 2 years ago. About 8 plus ago. Pada ketika itu, saya...
A year ago.
Saya tak ada interest nak bercinta. Kononnya lah kan. So, that could be one of the reason. Walaupun saya pergi gym, walaupun saya makan protein semua. So, Dr. Rollins pun...
Another one more thing was, the good thing is, they utilize testosterone dengan selengkap ni.
Yes. So kalau you all nak tahu, kalau lah you ada masalah kesihatan, please set appointment dengan Dr. Rollins and his team. Share your medical check-up. They will explain thoroughly supaya you tahu apa yang kena diperbetulkan. Alright, so anything else Dr. Rollins nak share?
I think, thank you again for having me here. I think banyak kita discuss.
Yeah.
Ada juga heavy sikit. Tapi itulah kebenarannya. I think bagi saya, kepada semua fans Coach Cam, my fans, I think biggest message yang apa kita perjuangkan, even like misi 1% drop in obesity, is kita kena pastikan negara kita ni sihat. Yes. Bukannya hanya bising pasal harga benda mahal.
Betul.
We need to fix ourselves. Kita kena pastikan badan kita ni kuat physically, mentally and emotionally, baru kita boleh progress. Everybody matters. If we leave anyone behind, kita akan heret negara kita pun macam tu. So, dari segi kesihatan ni, memang we are in this segment. So, we try to do our best sebanyak mana kita boleh. But even though kita ni kira macam non-governmental punya organisasi, all independent. We are entrepreneurs, business people. Tapi, itu menjadi satu tanggungjawab. If we don't do this, we will regret when something bad happens 20, 30 years, kita tak boleh fix the problem.
Betul. Totally.
Yeah. So, take care.
One more thing. So, puasa bagus ke tak bagus?
Bagus.
Puasa memang sangat bagus. Tapi, untuk mereka yang nak cuba bina otot, it could be difficult a bit during bulan puasa. So, accept je bagian tu. So, having said that, thank you very much kepada Dr. Rollins sebab sudi datang.
Thank you.
Thank you guys kerana mendengar dan juga menonton. Take care. Assalamualaikum. Peace out.